We do after 5 on PM Drive. Discussions between apartheid Israel and Lebanon set for today and tomorrow in Washington, D.C., where Lebanese representatives aim to achieve a cessation of assaults and occupation of the south of Lebanon, mind you, which is illegal by apartheid Israel. U.S. President Donald Trump stated that he requested the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, to withdraw his forces from Beirut because there were threats that they would actually target and attack Beirut, similar to what they did before the ceasefire of last year. And also he communicated with the Hezbollah representatives who agreed to pause so-called hostilities. Online international relations expert, Mr. Donovan Williams, the Don. Don, how are you?
How's it, MJ? Glad to be speaking to you again. Just to say that, you know, by the way, we must have one of the day have a discussions on energy and security because they go hand in hand.
Please, yeah.
They govern most of the international aspects. Besides the matter that even if you're going to get fuel through electricity must be produced through other fuel.
Yeah, exactly. So the one depends on the other.
Yeah. Mm. Besides that, all those things are being mined for your electric vehicle. Mm. Is being mined in certain places, which causes its own security issue. So one of the days we must schedule one of those discussions.
Definitely,
it's a pet subject of mine, amongst everything. And just to let you know, mind you, that the free basic tariff, I was personally involved in the. In fact, I introduced it in NEDLAC back in the day. This is in 1997, 98. As on the discussions of tariffs when I was representing one of the organizations, community organizations in NEDLAC, and it's me who brought it forward, actually.
Jeez.
To have free water and free electricity. Yeah, it's just something that just...
Come on, Don, you like literally, I mean, if we're talking a throwback here, then that's massive. That is huge. I'm diarizing. I'm going to speak to Kothar and to speak to Kay. We definitely should have kind of like diversify our conversation, but still relative. still relative to where we are right
exactly.
now. So exactly. I don't want to make it a numbers game, Don, but the occupation forces have to date killed more than 3,500 innocent Lebanese civilians. They've left more than 1.2 million Lebanese civilians displaced. Thousands have been injured. They've literally encroached upon major, major portions of land in the south of Lebanon. And we were under the impression that the resistance movement, Hezbollah, we were being made to believe by mainstream media that they were dead and buried. Only for us to see now that they're up to the task and they're up to the fight.
Yeah, it's not just that. I mean, you know, if one Israeli settler is killed, we'll be told that they are a civilian. Yet they are the ones with the Israeli forces that are killing Lebanese civilians and calling them Hezbollah. In many ways. And Hezbollah, as we know, or we should know, is a movement that was created out of the initial invasion of southern Lebanon by apartheid Israel, as you referred to it. And I think it's correctly referred to. And if those of us who can cast our minds back, you can go check the history books. There's never been an apology by apartheid South Africa or the leaders of apartheid South Africa to Botswana, Swaziland, northern Namibia, Angola, for invading those countries, and Mozambique as well, assisting in other forces in Mozambique. So what is very worrying with this part, and I don't put a lot of confidence in these peace talks itself, because while the talks are going on, people are still being killed through attacks by Israeli forces together with the settlers. And that's why I mentioned them. They have been done with them. Now, you can't be talking about peace and a cessation of hostilities. What we have seen from Hezbollah, as you said, that we thought Hezbollah was, you know, gone, buried, etc. It means they have discipline. Mm. When they call for no more attacks, no more, there were none.
Mm.
But I don't think that Israel can contain their settlers who are armed. I don't think they can. And I don't think they would be able to itself. So even if you get an agreement, I don't think Israel, the Israeli government, is able to implement that agreement and ensure that agreement. But more particularly, NJ, this is what I think that has happened, and it's something you need to chew on. I think the invasion of Iran and the on and off ceasefire has basically resulted in the world not up to the task of getting as angry as they were prior with what is happening in Gaza, the West Bank, and in Lebanon, in southern Lebanon. It's a secondary matter to about Iran and the fuel price and the Straits of Hormuz and his Trump and his woes and the Republican MAGA woes in terms of the midterm elections that are going to come up in November. Everybody's waiting for that. But just note this, that even if the Republicans lose the midterm elections, the Democratic Party is not united on the matter of Middle East peace and what it will take. Their understanding of Middle East peace is protection of Israel. Hmm. So unfortunately, the world will be turning a blind eye. We do have some, not progressive, I don't want to call it that, but heartening in the sense that you have Germany, you know, warning Israel, etc. The Spanish definitely, and they have been doing that for many years, maybe. But there's not going to be any action with that. There's not going to be curbing of Israel, who is the aggressor. So I'm worried. I'm worried for the people of Lebanon, the Middle East in general. And the Iranian invasion has made certain the hardened, the UAE and Qatar and so forth. So this is not a good time. And the problem is that ordinary people who are fighting for their lives, actually, are getting killed. And this is worrying. So I don't know what confidence you place in those talks. Even if you get an agreement, I don't think that agreement will mean that Lebanese in the southern areas where Hezbollah are will be safe. I don't think they will be safe.
I'm sorry, Don, from my side, zero confidence in those talks, just to affirm it from my side. But Iran has been unequivocally clear. An agreement to a ceasefire is literally intertwined with them saying loud and clear that they want the illegal attacks on Lebanon, predominantly in the south, to cease by the occupation forces. So they've made that abundantly clear. And if we look at the MO, Don, that is being applied by the occupation forces. Literally, apartheid Israel is continuing to drop white phosphorus bombs on densely populated civilian areas in the south of Lebanon. Same MO. It uses white phosphorus, apartheid Israel that is, white phosphorus bombs in Gaza as well. And the white phosphorus bombs are internationally outlawed munitions. And when a so-called ceasefire just over a year ago was agreed upon between apartheid Israel and Lebanon, we had never seen a day or a time where the occupation forces actually ceased their attacks on Lebanon. They just continued. I think if anything, they've just heightened that effectively as of March earlier this year.
You know, back in the day when the Grammys were very, the Grammy Awards, the American Music Awards, the Grammy Awards were very popular. A very popular singer hosted it twice by the name of Lionel Richie. And his tagline for the Grammys was outrageous. Mm. He would say, "This is outrageous." And it would be a lot of fun as he said it. Now, I'm thinking of that where we are practicing the politics of outrage right now. And that is sad, because that's what's going to happen. We're going to be outraged with what Israel does in southern Lebanon. Iran is going to be outraged, but other than Iranian troops going into southern Lebanon to fight Israelis, which they won't be able to do, what can it really do?
Mm.
You're going to have to hope Hezbollah is armed to the teeth and able not to defend southern Lebanon, but invade Israel. Otherwise, I can't see, even if you're going to get an agreement, the pressure on Iran, if there's going to be an agreement, and they're going to say, but no, you're shifting it when you're talking about Hezbollah. Because remember, one of the charges against Iran by the West, that includes the entire West, is that the Iranian government supports terrorist organizations in the area. It writes from Hezbollah and so forth. And that is not just the West. Remember, there are Middle Eastern countries who hold the same view.
Yeah.
So that matter of Hezbollah is going to be brought on pressure that no, you want to continue to do your destabilizing actions within the Middle East. So it is a very difficult one. It is the broader plan. Is Middle Eastern peace going to be guaranteed between Saudi Arabia and Israel with that type of detente? And therefore, you talk about a greater Israel and a greater Saudi Arabia, in a manner of speaking.
But I don't know how's that going to work.
And that's
because
scary.
They
it
would.
It can't work. It can't work, MJ. It can't work.
There will be major loggerheads.
Yes, that it can't work. Mm. They tried it through Saddam Hussein with Iran. They're not going to will it to where it can't work. But the idea that it can be done, because because it leads with very strong actors, Israel and Saudi Arabia will just whip everybody into shape. You know, it's not going to happen. And Saudi Arabia, in the end, I don't think will want to do it, because the economy won't be able to handle it. In a sense, they do hedge bets in different ways. So it is very worrying. I'm not, you know, I'm sounding calm and whatever, but you can hear I have really zero confidence, because everybody's kind of saying, okay, we'll deal with Gaza, we'll deal with after Trump loses in the midterm elections, and hopefully Trump will be gone. Like, the parties in the US are unanimous of the problem Israel is in the Middle East, together with Saudi Arabia. And Egypt, which is like a satellite state of the U.S. in that area in many ways. And those are the things that we have to ask ourselves, that why do we allow it? Because we've been allowing a Saudi Arabia and an Egypt and so forth not to be principled in matters. And it has come to the fore. It has literally come to the fore. So Trump has maybe sped it up or whatever it is, but it is worrying. It is worrying because no country is actually going to take them on, because they're going to be waiting for the midterm elections in November, then they're going to be waiting for the presidential elections in the U.S. And whilst that happens, you will then be saying, it's not a numbers game, Donovan, but it'll be so many more that have been killed.
Hmm. So as we speak, over the last couple of years, Don, the Greater Israel Project remains in play. It's possibly a matter of time before we see the occupation forces seize control completely of the south. The question that we would then ask, how astute, how regimented would the resistance movement be, would Hezbollah be, in order to prevent the Zionist entity from usurping the south of Lebanon in totality, because they've literally squashed the Palestinians in the besieged enclave in Gaza. They've squashed them into certain zones. The buffer zone that they've created, it literally can, we can see more than 65%, maybe even 70% of Gaza, the occupation forces have usurped. They are continuing to infringe on Syrian territory and sovereignty, and it seems as if it's likely that they also want to head into Iraq. So with all of this happening, it still then becomes very clear that Iran remains the last bastion in West Asia that would essentially prevent a complete Greater Israel project from coming into fruition.
You're describing it geopolitically or geographically as well. Quite correct. Just note that as you described that Iran is not acceptable to what could be called Arab countries.
Mm.
in that West Asia. And so as much as you want to make, one Muslim is just like another, it's not correct. It's not true.
Hmm.
There are ethnic issues, serious ethnic issues, and those go for centuries. At the same time, you also have, just like you have where you are staying, these right-wing project zones of the Greater Israeli Project didn't stop. It has continued, and it'll be something they will fight for, just like those who believe in secession of the Western Cape. And that's basically an apartheid state trying to be created in South Africa. The idea of self-governing states and so forth, and the idea that they had in the Kodesa elections, that is still coming up by parties which basically win the elections in the Western Cape more often than not, And so you have what you do have right now. You're going to have a matter where already, look, the Lebanese government is acting like the people in southern Lebanon are not their people.
Yeah.
Right? So the border has already been redrawn. The border has already been redrawn. And I think we had the discussion when Assad fell, right? I think we had that discussion, when he did, and we talked about Putin. That was one of the biggest dominoes to fall. Because that was a huge buffer. That opened the door to a greater Israel being possible. And that's what made Netanyahu believe, and that's why he could convince Trump that Iran could fall. Because with an Assad, that wouldn't have worked. But it did. Assad, though, as he tried to protect himself, he became more and more harsh with these people, and that's what made it possible as well. But without Syria there's really no buffer. And that's what Putin has been raising. And we are fortunate. I was speaking on... just very recently on ENCA, actually, about the Shangri-La dialogue, which China didn't attend. It sent an academic delegation. This is 2 years in a row. But it did that because China is now moving into a developmental plane or into a geopolitical plane that looks at more bilateralism than multilateralism.
Don, we're going to need a podcast. Most definitely, yeah. So that we can go 2.0. Yeah. But we've unfortunately run out of time. I hope we can pick up this conversation again. And importantly, that electricity and energy conversation, that's an important one. Thanks so much, Donovan Williams, international relations expert, always, for joining us in PM Drive. Much appreciated.